it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bam, 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 bam. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But right now, we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our guy, Mr. John Walton, voice of the Caps right here on the flagship Caps radio station, 106.7 The Fan.
A bigger Prince fan than I am.
That's true. That's true. Walton, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I was busy jamming there. Sorry, I kind of zoned out for a minute. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, John, they know what to play when you're coming on, bro.
I know. I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that every time I come on.
Hey, what did you take away from the game last night?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that were fine. The 5-on-5 play I could have seen a little bit more of. I thought Boston did a really nice job of, you know, keeping tight defensive gaps against the guys. I think they were a little frustrated. Power play could have easily gone their way. They had a lot of chances, and I thought, especially the first couple, I thought, you know, you're facing a hot goalie, and sometimes that's going to happen. So I just hearing from what Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun said after the game, a little bit from Ovi too, I really kind of felt, you know, the game was right there, and sometimes you're going to run into a goalie, it's going to make your life miserable. I thought Swayman was excellent last night. I thought LT was pretty good too. I think Thompson was probably deserving of a better fate, but in a game 1 of 82, it's just there's always a lot more focus on that first one because you got the red carpet and everybody's back and everybody's pumped and you want to make sure the party goes the way it's supposed to. But I think all in all, I mean, going to New York this weekend, real chance to get back on a beam and just, you know, tighten a few screws and be on their way.
What was the vibe in there last night? I mean, it was low score until the third. You know, it was just how excited was everybody for the season to start, and then just how did that game continue?
Yeah, I thinking back to, you know, when Wilson scored in the third period, I was like, okay, you know what? This is where the roof caves in on Boston and it caves in on Swayman. They're going to generate momentum off of that. And then it was taken away almost immediately, and I think that was where the game was probably lost. I think if they had a chance to build up some of that momentum, I mean, you could kind of feel the building charge up when that happens. So unfortunate that they didn't really get that chance and a puck goes in the net the other way at the wrong time. But, I think that's, you know, it's going to happen. I think it's always when you've got that many people, coming down, excited to see him, and the building was pretty jammed. I thought it was great. I mean, just, you know, the red carpet over the years is, you know, kind of evolved a little bit where it's always that, you know, special time when everybody comes down early and takes off work early. And, it's kind of fun being out there. We don't get outside much, so it's nice to be able to look up and see the sky. That was pretty cool. And the rain held off. So, it was pretty cool.
So I asked Ted this last night. I got to interview Ted Leonsis, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. This
nice
time
name
last
drop.
Year,
that was nice. That was good.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah, he's the owner. this time last year, there was so much focus on Ovi's goal chase, right? And he eventually got home on that, and it was this really, really fun and exciting kind of subplot, maybe even the main plot to the season. That is not the case anymore. I understand, you know, every time Ovi scores, we're going to be keeping track of it. And, you know, he's going to get to 900 here, probably relatively early in the season. Just what is the focus this season when you think about it?
You know, it's funny. It's a question that I started getting the vibe about this time last year, maybe a little bit later, maybe it was the end of October. And talking with Logan Thompson and talking with some of the guys that came in. And Thompson, to me, is always the guy that personifies this best, that kind of chip on the shoulder. You know, a lot of people don't think we're very good. You know, the team was – when you looked at the roster, there are a lot of new faces. How would they assimilate? And I thought they would be pretty good. I'd be lying if I thought they were going to run away and win the division in a walk like the way they did. But – you know, that was a theme that we started to hear. It's like, yeah, well, you know, nobody gets up for the Caps and everybody thinks we're not very good. And, you know, lo and behold, we are. And then you got later in the year and then you had the Ovi chase along with, hey, you know what, this team's pretty good. I thought that was behind us a little bit, just because after 111 points, you'd think so, right? And then you start reading, you know, The Athletic puts out there 1-32, like where do the teams stack up from the very best to the very worst? And in a 32-team league, they've got them at 14. I was like, wait a minute. Like, hey, we're down to the, you know, literally the last 4 days of the season, they could have won the President's Trophy and had the best record in the league, and they have all the same guys back. And why are they there? And I found that curious, but it turns out that hockey players and coaches read those things too. And they're like thinking along the same line. So in being around Thompson, especially, and Spencer Carberry was asked a little bit during the preseason too, it is a little mystifying to them, but I really think that they use that as fuel. And you know, there's a little bit of, hey, listen, we're going to show you. And yeah, I really believe with the character of the guys in this room, yeah, you don't have this gigantic hockey history that everyone talks about and we'll talk about for the rest of time, but you have a guy they'd like to win for, that same guy. And then you have a team that of guys that came from other places where they want to be able to get further than they did last year. They've got to find a way to beat Carolina. Hurricane's still a pretty good team, but you know, when you look at it across the board, this is a team that should be right there. And you know, people want to talk about the Rangers. I didn't think the Rangers were very good at all the other night. I watched their first game. They got shut out at home to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is struggling. And they're an older team and don't have, all the horses. And New Jersey, they're hurt all the time. I'm like, well, where exactly did they think this team was going to fall? And I think they use that to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, the we'll show you mentality, I think, runs through that room. Not all of them talk about it, but I definitely have gotten that sense in there.
John, you can't expect a 40-year-old guy to go out and carry a team. Obi will have his moments. He'll have some fantastic moments. But there are a lot of young guys on this squad that seem to be ready to take that step. Is this kind of a situation where it's kind of the changing of the guard? You still got the man there. But still, it's a changing of the guard.
It is, and I think we've seen that. I think you can go back even 2 years ago. B mentioned, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but you know they traded Hathaway and they traded Orlov and they got some picks and they went out and got Sandin. And at the time, they called it the retool on the fly. And you know, even at the time, I'd say, okay, you know, it's one thing to say that, but you know, how do you do it? How do you back that up? How do you keep the sun in the sky for Alex in the late stages of his career here? And Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick in a brilliant manner went out and identified, you know, Logan Thompson and Matt Roy and Jacob Chychrun and basically built the best defensive core in the NHL. And I even the people who don't think this team is as good as they think they are, it's pretty undeniable that this is the best E-core around. You've got Jacob Chychrun on your third pair, and he scored 20 goals last year. That's pretty good. And they're very, you know, helpful to their goaltenders. And, you know, I think there's a lot that they do that's really good. That part's okay, but it was, you know, how do you keep that going? And, you know, that's the prospects. And Alexei Protas stepping up and getting 30 goals last year. Tom Wilson getting to 33 goals last year, which was incredible. You know, they've got there's a lot of guys that hit the gas, and Connor McMichael was one too. And now you're looking at, yeah, that changing of the guard too, where you've got, you know, what can the third line do? What's Ryan Leonard going to do this year? First full year in the league. What's Henrik Lapierre going to do? They need that line to be good. That wasn't very good last year. That was the one thing about the team last year. They just didn't get a lot of offensive production from line three. And you've got to be able to have all lines, you know, contributing and doing what they need to do. But, you know, Henrik Lapierre had a great camp. And Ryan Leonard's a top 10 pick and comes in. He led all of college hockey in goals last year. So, you know, once they figure that out and once they're able to do their thing, I mean, that's where I think a lot of that transition continues.
Of all those guys you mentioned, of all the really, like, pleasant surprises, if you will, or even, like, Willie breaking out like that offensively, who of those guys, maybe it's Chychrun, like there's a lot of dudes, Protas, who do you think has another level to hit?
You know, it's funny you say Protas.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's last because I look at him and skating ability. When I saw, yeah, I mean, and his brother too, right? I mean, you've got to, we're scouring Belarus as we speak to see if there's any other distant relatives or anybody else we can sign up here. Because, my goodness, I mean, Ely at 6'6", and you know he isn't quite ready for the NHL, but he's going to go down to Hershey and get a chance to play 20 minutes in a game. And you know, just watching him make a move to the front of the net, I think back to preseason where there's a, you know, he's just playing right at the right post and the puck comes to him and he doesn't score, but just so physically imposing. Alexei's skating from 2 years ago to now is so much better, and he's fast. And when he gets going at 6'6", it's tough to catch him. And, you know, he got a couple of shorthanded goals last year that way, and a great touch and a great shot, and he moves the puck really well for his line mates. I mean, I think there's more there. I mean, it's tough to say that about a guy that was so successful last year, but I who's going to stop him? I mean, it's 6'6", and to be able to skate like that, and there's a lot coming in the pipeline. I think it's really encouraging in what will certainly be the post-Ovi era in the coming years here, where you've got so many guys that they've drafted with size and speed, and you know, a lot of them are in Hershey already, and others will be there soon in the next year or so. And they're all good. I mean, it's a good group coming, as good as I've seen in the 15 years I've been here. I don't think it's ever been better than it is right now with what's coming. So a good way to, you know, we were talking about that transition. I mean, that's what you're looking at. And there's a lot to transition to, and I think it's pretty exciting.
The transition, I've said this repeatedly. I've been really excited. I really like tip my hat to how the Caps have kind of rebuilt on the fly and gotten younger and gotten faster while allowing Ovi to continue to be a big part of this, allowing him to break Gretzky's record. But at the same time, it's like they're rebuilding on the fly. You lose Oshie, you lose Backstrom, you still have Wilson, you still have Carlson, but this thing has really turned over. There's this weird need in our world for everybody to wonder what's next, and I think a huge part of that is wondering if this is Ovi's last year. It's my understanding he's like, man, as long as I'm playing well and we're winning games and I'm a part of that, I'm in no hurry to make a decision. Is that consistent with what you see and you hear, John?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way of putting it, and I think only he knows. I don't think there's anybody internally or externally. I think he will do what he sees best and best for him and what he loves to do and what made him successful for more than two decades and the greatest goal scorer of all time is that he loves to come to the rink and he loves to score goals. And as long as he's doing that, I think he's going to keep going. And if he decides that, hey, you know what, I don't know that I have this in me anymore, then I think that day will come and none of us want to hear it, but then it'll happen. But I truly believe that he hasn't decided. I don't think he has, because, you know, he gets life from being around the young guys. I mean, you know, pass attempts and trying to, you know, he had one in the game last night where he was trying to feed Protas. And I thought, you know, here's a guy who, you know, is 3 goals from .900. And a lot of times, more often than maybe people think, he's looking to pass and looking to lift others up around him. And, you know, I think as long as he's enjoying that, as long as he's doing that, as long as he feels like that's needs to be a part of his life, he's going to do it. So, yeah, I don't know when it's coming. I'm kind of one of those that, you know, he's made my career with all the places that I've gotten calls that I never would have believed. So I'm in no hurry for him to go anywhere. But, you know, I'm just going to live in denial and into myself and saying that this is just going to keep going and going and going. I don't want to think about it.
What kind of game you anticipate Friday night with the Islanders?
Yeah, you know, with the Isles, this is, you know, their team in transition. I mean, they've got a new general manager who, funny enough, I know very well. Matthew Darche was a goal scorer and a good one at the AHL level when I was in Hershey, and he took over as general manager. He is an A1 human being, and he's a really good hockey guy. he is going to make the Islanders better. But right now, they're not a playoff team. So I think, you know, they've got the number one pick we're looking forward to seeing in this past year's draft, Matthew Schaefer, defenseman that can skate like the wind. He's the youngest D-man, I think, to step in for the Islanders, maybe in their history. Just now turned 18. But they're a team that is, you know, coming off of the last regime of general manager there that, you know, they're old, they're slow, they didn't have a lot of prospects, and they're turning the page and kind of starting fresh. They're going to be good in a couple of years. I have every confidence in the guy that they just hired for the job, which isn't great news for the Caps. But in right now, I think going into that building, there's always going to be the emotion. It's going to be their home opener. So, you know, player introductions and the players or the fans just like here last night. I mean, they're going to be all fired up. But, you know, I think they're going to be fine. And then you got the Rangers on Sunday where, you know, I was not impressed with them. I think that they will get it together. I think they'll be better than they were last year when they just bottomed out. But, you know, they're going to be playing in the back half of a 2-2, the same as the Capitals. So I think if they can go and have a really nice New York weekend, they can come back home in a really nice stretch of games, guys, coming up after this weekend, where they're 5 of the next 6 are going to be at home. So chance to, before the schedule really gets nasty in November, to kind of build some standings equity. And I think they've got a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Do I remember, didn't the Rangers sell off a bunch at the trade deadline, or did they acquire?
There were some. They had a weird year. So Jacob Trouba was there, and they traded him, and they traded Chris Kreider, and they got some pieces back. They've got a really good goaltender. Igor Shesterkin is one of the best in the league. So they're not going to necessarily give up a whole lot, but they don't really have the scoring that they did 2 years ago either. So and they did no scoring in their opener, 100th anniversary, and everybody fired up at MSG, Pittsburgh in town, a bit of a lesser team right now, and the Penguins just spanked them on the nose and left with a 3-0 win. So they're going to be a little angry, too. They've got a game in Pittsburgh on Saturday before playing the Caps on Sunday. So, yeah, we'll see. But it'd be nice to pick up a nice 4-point weekend and a little time in the city on Sunday.
Who's my guy that Willie threw off his back like a lantern fly? Panarin?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, back when during COVID there with that was like a lantern fly. I like that.
is that dude drives me nuts. He's a good goal scorer, but he's annoying. Is that dude still on the Rangers?
Yeah, and he had a bad year last year, and he's still very talented. I mean, that's something you got to look out for. But yeah, that's there is a little bit of history there with 43 and that guy.
Remember when we were there 2 years ago for the playoff series? He was pretty good, and all the fans had like bread heads for Panarin. I'm excited hockey's back, dude. I confess that it doesn't get my full devoted attention till football's over, but it's great to have Caps games on, man. I'm excited.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's it's funny because, you know, as it started, I was out front last night doing some TV stuff, and you're like that tiny little chill in the air, and then you get up today, and it's like, ooh, it kind of feels like fallout. Must be hockey season.
Yes, it does.
So, well, time to get after it.
Indeed. Thank you, John. We always appreciate your time. John.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
All right, man.
All right. That is the great John Walton. You can hear his call right here on 106.7 The Fan. Caps' next game is Saturday, 7 o'clock in Long Island, taking on the Islanders. You can give John a follow at John Walton PXP. When we come back, Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury address the media. Let's see what they say. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.